read the beginning of a short story, which is a longer piece, but yeah. And it's called Just Wait for the Party. We could just burn the whole thing. Jen puts down her cup and reaches for the bottle. She pours herself more wine. On the table, all the glasses are full. Clara takes one shy, careful sip. I don't think so, I say. Why not? We couldn't. At least I couldn't. Let's just get rid of it, Jen shrugs, once and for all. Clara looks at me, bites down on her nails. Now and then, her foot kicks on the big stem that sticks out from the floor underneath the kitchen table. Whenever we chop it down, it grows back, like it's dead, but not quite. Across from us, Sarah rolls a cigarette. She winces, her mouth pulls downwards. Come on, guys, nobody cares. Jen gives her a side look. Just because you don't care doesn't mean nobody cares. Sarah cracks a match. No one uses matches anymore, but she says this way, no one ever steals her lighter. Clara crosses and uncrosses her legs, removes an invisible speck of dust from her green satin jacket, the one embroidered at the back with a big coiling snake, always coiled, always grinning. The green sets off her green hair. Where is David? She asks. The same song starts playing for the third time in the background. At the far end of the kitchen, Anton closes the fridge. He's still getting ready upstairs. What time are people getting here? I don't know, I reply. Party time, I guess. Anton walks to the table, pushes the empty cups to one side. He sits down, opens another beer and reaches for Sarah's rolling paper. She snatches them away from him. Hey, you could ask first. Sorry, can I? Can I have a paper? You can, just one, but buy your own cigarettes. I can't, I've stopped smoking. She rolls her eyes. In the room, the air is heavy. The windows are open, but the bunting, a party remnant, hanging still in no breeze. A carnival of small yellow triangles that used to be bright, but now glowing heavy with grey cooker grease. All around the kitchen and the living room, short green stumps line the edges of the wall like sharp poking fingers. Their flesh covered with a thin powder that looks like dust, like sand. Every so often, I feel the urge to touch them, but I don't. I know what would happen. I have seen the pictures. Jen gathers her hair on top of her head. She twists and twists, then the big black knot collapses when she lets go. Small beads of sweat shine on her skin. It's boiling in here. Sarah smiles. Her foot rocks the chair next to her, back and forth, always halfway between fine and fallen. Should we put a fan somewhere? Jen asks. I found an old one in the cupboard, Anton says. I'm going to hang it from the beam to keep the air moving. His hair, usually curly, is now slicked back, sweat or water like he's just put his head underneath the tap. He reaches for the pink tinted glass ashtray. The big coiled snake on Sarah's back opens its mouth even wider. Is anyone doing the window? She asks. Jen rolls her eyes. Do we really have to? It is so hot. I'd rather be hot than evicted. Anton presses his beer on his cheek. The can is wet with condensation. One more noise complaint and we're out. They're just waiting for us to slip. Jen pulls on her hair again. The curls crumble. She mutters something about Anton being paranoid, about no one ever really listening to her and why are we even having a party in this heat? Sarah pouts at her. Jen says, hey, I'll burn you two. Sarah laughs. The sound of Clara's foot hitting the big stems echoes through the wooden table. I place my hand flat on the table to feel the vibration. Whenever I look at the green stumps, I wonder what it would be like to run my fingers along their flesh, to squeeze it till it oozes. They say if you touch a particularly bad plant, the toxin can get straight into your nervous system and you are dead within the hour. This heat is going to kill us, Jen says. Clara nods. At least we'll die together. On the table, tobacco flakes, breadcrumbs, dead lighters and filters form an opaque layer like algae on water. I get up. I head for the sink. I run my hands under the tap. Across the kitchen counter, a single ant makes its way towards some rice left on the hob. I'll do the window with David when he comes down, I say. Sarah nods. I'll help. Anton lodges his feet on the table corner. A puff of smoke comes out of his mouth, the color of crab meat. David! He shouts at the ceiling. He can't hear you, Jen says. Stop screaming. He shrugs. You don't know that he can't. This place is like a cardboard box. When David comes down, we head for the corridor. It is full of broken wood, empty paint buckets, and deflated tires. It used to be someone's workshop before they moved out. Now it is just where we keep the bins. The giant sign saying, "It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your clitoris is?" That somebody stole from the V&A. The cat litter and every single mattress ever left behind by past housemates. All this stuff makes the hallway look like a squat, except that we pay central London rent and aren't allowed to smoke crack in the kitchen. One by one, we drag the mattresses into the living room. We slot them into the windows as best we can. It's not the best soundproofing, but it dampens most of the noise, and it keeps the council at bay. Prevents them from asking too many questions about the warehouse. Not that the space is illegal, we're just not supposed to live here. On paper, it's only artist studios, so every so often, the council comes round and we have to hide all the beds. Make the bedroom look like not bedrooms, the open space like a workshop space. We even built a fake wall once to hide the room where all the wardrobes were stored for the night. When the mattresses are in place, Sarah takes in the open kitchen, the now blocked out windows. This place looks like a padded cell. "You just wait," David hops to the wall. Flips the switch, everything turns green. "Atmospheric lighting," he says, "do you like it?" I wrap the bulbs in gel from Anton's photo studio. "Like a greenhouse for the mad," she muses. "And check out the toilet!" I shake my head, but she follows him. When he turns on the bathroom light, it glows red. "What do you think?" he asks. "Sinister," she replies. "I'm gonna go smoke a cigarette on the roof before people turn up." In Jen's room, we climb the short ladder through the window and onto the roof. We often use this spot for midnight barbecues in the summer. It's not that high up, but from here, if you step on a box, you can see a fair bit of Hackney, the road leading to the shops, and all the warehouses still in use. Anton sits down. He stretches his legs. He's the oldest member of the house, always fixing things, always trying to ensure we don't engulf the space in noise complaints and unemptied bins. "Do you think it's going to rain?" he asks. Clara wraps her arms around his waist. "Apparently there's going to be a storm." "I love storms," Jen says. "Everybody loves storms." Anton peers at the ground below us, his face dark from the night. "Look at those. They're definitely getting bigger." We look down. Underneath us, everything black. But then looking deeper, the dark shapes of leaves, their bodies wide and flat like tropical plants. No wonder they enjoy the heat. No one knows where they came from. Some people say Japan. Some people even say Hawaii. Some people say nowhere. They say they came from here, but one day they just started spreading. Their roots are so strong, they grow through concrete. No one knows how to get rid of them. All you can do is trim and avoid walking into them because their flesh stings and cuts, and every day on the news, someone new ends up in hospital. "They don't look bigger to me," I say. "Are you kidding? I remember when they were just the size of my hand." I stare at the great big leaves, their fleshy green surfaces and delicate pink rims glowing silently underneath the window, their stems pushed so tightly together the ground hasn't been visible for months. The sickly sour smell of sap saturates the air. "It always gets worse in the summer," Jen yawns. "I spent one whole day hacking at the roots last week, but they just grow too fast in this heat. If it was up to me, I'd bleach the whole thing." Clara sits back. "I've tried bleach before. You know it doesn't work. Burning, bleaching, it just makes it worse." "I still think it's worth a go." "You just want to burn everything." Jen shakes her head, then says nothing. Maybe it's true that we don't listen to her. It's just that if we did, we'd set the whole place on fire. Thank you.